Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. This is Darren, and if you like this content, you have got to come check out my new course, 90-Day Relationship Reset. If you've got drama in your relationships, if you're struggling with a relationship, this is the course for you. Go to my website, drdarrenwilson.com. It's the very first button you push. It'll take you right to the relationship webpage. You can sign up today. You can up-level your relationship. And in 90 days, your relationships will be reset. Come join me today, drdarrenwilson.com. I can't wait to see you in the course room. Well, welcome in, everyone, to episode number 76 of the Life Coaching for Men podcast. I am so glad to be back with you this week. Boy, how about that episode last week with Alan Jager, huh? If you haven't checked that out on mindfulness, on meditation, you need to go back and check it out and listen to it. There were some just wonderful nuggets from Alan teaching you how to start a mindfulness practice if you've never done that before, the importance of meditation, and I just thought it was fascinating. One of the key takeaways for me was when he talked about when you're dealing with something in the moment that you can actually try to count your breaths. And counting your breaths wasn't really something that was, life-changing for me at the time. But what was so neat was thinking about that is how you can really stay in the present. If you stay in the present by counting your breaths, because you can't breathe in the past and you can't breathe in the future. I just thought that was super. And so for those of you who are struggling to get your emotional state under control, throughout the day, that's a great tactic for you to use, is to stop, count your breaths, and know that, hey, you've got to be in the present while you're doing that, because you cannot be in the past and you can't be in the future, and you just bring yourself back to that. If you can do that for, 2 or 3 minutes and then come back, and boy, it will really drop the temperature in the room and just help you think a little more clearly and be able to move forward from there. Then you can do your thought downloads and decide how you want to intentionally think. But I just thought that was fabulous. So if you get a chance, go back and listen to last week's episode. Really appreciate him being on here and just thought it was super. A lot of you have asked me, and a lot of my coaching right now is centered on and around relationships. And particularly, when we start to blame the other person in our relationship, or we just cannot find happiness, or whatever that might look like. We're frustrated, and it doesn't matter if it's a relationship that's, a year old or 20 years old. There are always things in there that seem to pop up. And so this week, I want to talk to you about ways that you are sabotaging your relationships. And I want you to stop. I want you to stop sabotaging your relationships and stop doing those and stop doing them right now. And, I do a lot of research as I'm leading up to these podcasts, and looked at a lot of different places this week and found several different things from Google and others. One of the people that popped up with some good strategies was Amanda White. She's an LPC that works primarily with women and couples, and there were several things that I kind of took from her this week, and then other things from other places, and then, you know, added my own little touch and little spin on the rest of the content. But I just think it's so important for us, for you, to continue to learn from as many different people and as many different places as you can, because everyone has something to offer, and you just have to decide if that's what you need at the time. Because just because someone has something to offer doesn't mean it's for you. But you certainly can decipher that and figure out exactly what you need for the moment. And so these are some things that I want you to stop doing in your relationships, and particularly those of you who are struggling in relationships right now. Number one, assume that your partner can read your mind. When I was younger, I would used to joke with some of my friends and say that you know, I was a member of the MRA, the Mind Readers Association, because I would, you know, be pretty good at reading people and guessing what they were thinking or guessing what they were going to do next. And the truth is, you know, I'm not a member of the MRA, and neither are you. So stop thinking that you can read your partner's mind, even if you've been with them a long time. And even if you think, you know, well, they know me better than I know myself. That is not true, because what you want to hear is what they are actually thinking. You want to hear what is actually going on inside of them. And so to do that, what do you have to do? You have to ask. Guys, I know we love to do this, right? You actually have to have a conversation, and there may actually have to be some feelings involved, and you may actually have to ask some probing questions. It's not our best suit. I mean, we're not typically wired that way. So we have to get out of our own way. We have to get out of our own box. We have to get out of our comfort zone, and we have to ask those questions. So don't assume your partner can read your mind. Number two, not giving your partner feedback from what's going on with you. Okay, not giving your partner feedback from what's going on with you. It's similar, right, to the mind reading, except now you want them to be able to read your mind. You're like, oh, you should know what I want, right? You should know how I feel. You should know how I'm going to respond in this situation. You should know what I need to fill my cup up. No, you want to actually tell them or ask them for what you need in a specific situation. So if you're struggling and you say, you know what, I feel down right now. I could really use your support. I could really use just your love. I could really use your care. I don't need to be, talked to. I don't need advice. I just need your support. You know, we're not very good, again, at asking for things that we need, particularly when we feel like we're being weak, or when we feel like we are vulnerable, or we feel like that we should have the answer. And that's the exact time when you should ask that question. Tell your partner, hey, this is what I need. Because what happens, guys, is we hold back. We don't tell them what we need. And then we hold a grudge. Then we're like, well, you should have known what I needed. You should have known what I was going through. Why, if you had responded in this way, then I would have been happier that day. I would have gotten over this. Isn't that true? But instead, we want to actually have the conversation and actually say, hey, this is what I need, and this is what I need right now. Now, they get to choose. They get to choose whether they want to give that to you or they want to provide in a certain way. But if you're in a good, loving relationship that's give and take, most of the time they're gonna try to appease that. Because if you're in love with your spouse, then that's exactly what you want to do for them, and that's what they want to do for you. Doesn't mean you hold that against them. It doesn't mean anything like that, but you can certainly ask for what you would like to see in a particular situation, okay? So number three, expecting your relationship to fulfill 100% of your wants, needs, and desires. Expecting your relationship to fulfill 100% of your wants, needs, and desires. How many times have people gotten married thinking, oh, the famous line in the movie, right? They're going to complete me. And that is not how a relationship works, right? Relationships can provide some joy. They can provide love. They can provide stability. But no relationship, regardless of what it is going to be perfect. and one person cannot fulfill you. So you still need support from family. You still need support from friends. You need to be able to find an ally. Maybe you need coaching. Maybe you need therapy. Maybe you need just someone to talk to. But expecting your spouse to fulfill 100% of everything else that you need is just going to set you up for failure. It's just going to set you up to sabotage your relationship. You need some time on your own. You need to be able to fill your own bucket. You need to be able to find other outlets that can help fill that bucket, because you will be lonely in the end, because you will become so needy on that other person. You'll become graspy, and you'll be enmeshed with them, if you will, and you will not be able to separate yourself. The best relationships, right? You're your own person, they're their own person, and you all come together for a common good and a common good for each other, and you become a team, and you're supportive, and you're able to move forward. But when you are reliant on that person to fill your bucket day in and day out, it will just lead to emptiness. And number four, assuming any doubt or conflict means it's over. You're doomed. Relationship is finished. Assuming any doubt or conflict means that the relationship's over. Relationships are hard work. If anybody tells you any different, they're lying to you. Relationships are hard work. Yes, some are easier than others. Yes, sometimes you just naturally, because of your personality, get along with someone better than you can somebody else. But relationships are hard work. And no matter how easy you think or how you think it should go, there are always going to be conflicts or disagreements. And there will even be some doubts. But just know that you're going to have periods where it's easier, and then there's going to be other periods where it's more difficult. You're going to have some ebb and flows in relationships. And if you are trying to work every day to become and be the best version of yourself, and you're trying and you're feeding all of the good things into what your relationship is and can be, then it's going to be much easier for you to show up in that relationship the way that you want to. If you are consistently feeding yourself with thoughts and doubts of, oh, what have I done here? I can't believe I'm in this relationship. This relationship is so hard. This will never work out. Well, of course, you're going to put yourself on a path that is not going to be a positive outcome in the end for you. So you want to have a discipline each day to say how grateful you are for the relationship, to say how thankful you are for the relationship, to say how thankful you are for the person on the other side of you. And, oh, by the way, you are working to become the person that the person on the other side of you wants to be with. The more you work on yourself, the better your overall relationship and relationships will be. I guarantee it. The more you work on yourself, the better the rest of your relationships are going to be. Number five, this is hard for us right here. Guys, this is hard for us. Stop comparing your relationships to others. Stop comparing your relationship to others. So whether it's your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your friends, your relationships at work, whatever that is, just stop comparing them. Your relationship is your relationship. Your relationship with your spouse is unique and special to you and your spouse. It is not supposed to be like anybody else. You're not supposed to try to emulate somebody else. Yeah, you might take some bits and pieces of relationships that you've seen that go really well, but you're not trying to put yourself in the position of being in that particular relationship. So just know that every relationship has its own uniqueness. Ask yourself, how do I want to celebrate my birthday with her? How do I want to celebrate Christmas? How do we want to celebrate Valentine's Day? You know, it doesn't have to be how the people down the street or how your friends do it or how your sister-in-law does it or how whomever. It doesn't have to be that way. You can decide and you can choose, and your relationship can be exactly how you want it to be. Again, open communication. Talk with your spouse, talk with your partner and say, this is what I would like. What would you like in this relationship? We don't have to be like anybody else. We can be unique to ourselves. Number six, and I talk about this one about preserving the relationship. So when you can preserve the relationship or choose being, right? Choosing being, stop choosing, I'll put it this way, stop choosing being right over being understanding. So I want you to be understanding instead of being right. I want you to preserve the relationship. You are always going to have some conflict. You're always going to have disagreement. And that's an opportunity, right, to reveal what's going on inside of you. When you have that conflict, when you start to get frustrated, you can notice what's going on inside of you. And you almost always have a choice. Do I want to preserve the relationship or do I want to stay in a fight? Do I want to preserve a relationship or do I want to be right? Which one would you rather? And 9 times out of 10, if you will work to preserve the relationship, to choose to understand the other person, to be curious where the other person is coming from, to try to put yourself in their shoes, then your life and your relationship is going to be much better. You're not going to have to go back and apologize for something that you said in a moment of heat, in a moment of argument, because you're going to be able to say, no, I want to think with clarity. I want to have clean thinking here, and I want to preserve the relationship. So choose understanding over being right. The other way around will sabotage the relationship. Number 7, not owning your part. Not owning your part, right? Your partner's not perfect, but guess what, folks? You're not perfect either, right? I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. And so if we go into it pointing our finger at them, and anytime you say the word you to start the sentence, you need to pause there. That should be a trigger. When you say you should or you are not or I can't believe you, right? Anytime it's you that's in there, you need to stop and go, no, wait a minute. What is my part in this? What part do I play? What can I own out of this conflict? What can I own out of where this relationship is not going well right now? What is that going to be? What is that going to do? Learn how to own your own part of it, and then learn how to listen. If you need to make an apology, make it a true apology. Don't just say, oh yeah, I'm sorry. You know, those flippant apologies, they don't go very far. People see right through that. Your spouse sees right through that. So notice when that comes up. Notice when you need to make an apology. Say, look, I am really sorry that XYZ. I am truly sorry. And then you're able to move through that. Okay? So own your part. Own what's going on in you. And then have a conversation. Talk about it, get it out in the open, and then move through it. And then lastly, number 8 is thinking that, hey, all we need is love, right? It's kind of like the Beatles song, all you need is love. Remember, folks, love is a verb. You have to intentionally want to love the person each and every day. If you leave love in there as just a noun, as something you are in, it will go quiet. It will go silent. It will fade away. And that is not what you want, right? You have to actively engage in order to stay in love. And so what does that mean? That means that you are actually doing things. You're communicating. You're, you know, bringing home flowers, or you're, you know, setting up a nice date, or you're, you know, just having a night out. Anything that you can do that is going to continue to fuel the relationship is going to help you keep that relationship on fire long term. Because again, you're always going to have these ebbs and flows. So you have to make sure that you are being intentional each and every day in how you relate to your spouse and how you love your spouse. So things that you're doing to sabotage your relationship, right? So stop doing these things. Stop doing these things and quit sabotaging your relationship. Assuming you can read your partner, assuming your partner can read your mind, number one, assuming your partner can read your mind. Number 2, not giving your partner feedback, not telling your partner what you need. Number 3, expecting your relationship to fulfill 100% of your wants, needs, and desires. Number four, assuming any doubt or conflict means that your relationship is over or means that your relationship is in trouble. Number five, comparing your relationship to others. Stop doing that. Stop comparing. Number six, choosing being right over preserving the relationship. You always want to try to preserve the relationship if you can. Number seven, not owning your part of the relationship, not owning what you have brought to the table in your relationship. And number eight, thinking that all you need is love. And remember, love is a verb. Okay? So take those. Hopefully those help you this week, especially if you're struggling in your relationship, especially if you're in a spot where you just don't know where to go and you don't know what to do. Just look at those, you know, consider those eight things and say, you know, how many of those am I really guilty of? What am I doing that is allowing me to sabotage this thing, this relationship that should mean is supposed to mean the most to me? Okay, so go with those this week. If you need me, reach out to me, drdarrenwilson@gmail.com. Check out the website. I've got a great relationship course that will help you reset your relationship in 60 to 90 days. You go through that course one video at a time, one lesson at a time. I guarantee you that it will help you as you navigate this thing we call life and this thing we call life with another person. So I hope you have a great week. Can't wait to see you back here next Thursday. Take care, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget, check out the new course, Stop Fighting Now. Go to drdarrenwilson.com. Sign up today. I can't wait to see you in the course room.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.